This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
We are sick and tired of being promised this and that. We work all day, we sweat and we slave to keep the wealthy fat. They fill our heads with promises and bamboozle us with facts. Then they pull on false sincerity, then they laugh behind our backs. Money and corruption are ruining the land. Crooked politicians betray the working man. Pocketing the profits.
So, Sandy, as I listened to the choices of the music this morning, a lot of it was made decades ago.
Oh, yeah.
The Kinks. This is not new.
No.
The subject matter that music is.
Well, money and corruption goes all the way back, right? You can look at the time of the kings, the courts, you know, the giving out of royal privileges by the king. This is what happens when governments are run by individuals and not by the people and for the people. And so I picked the music because I'm worried that we're watching the king assemble his court is the process that's ongoing right now. I talked about that last week, but it's worrisome. And we all ought to be awake to the fact that when government turns into a revolving door, people who get put into government because of their loyalty to the incoming head of government, you end up with a process that is altogether probably very corrupt in the long run. Because how do you staff the new government with 15,000 new people? How do you staff the army with 400 new loyal generals? I mean, you end up with juntas that are running countries with military loyalists. You end up with corporations calling the shots in the regulation, in their own regulation. And of course, what's the ultimate shot that a regulated industry would call it? Let's get rid of the regulation altogether.
So welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That guy who you are listening to is Sandy Williams. He's my co-host, and it's always great to have him on board. Let's go to the phone lines and Robert from West Dallas. Robert, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I say a few things. One, when people talk about woke, I think they're talking about the cultural stuff. So if we think of Marvel, we think of Vice, we think of some of the beer companies, they have gone woke and they've gone broke. So instead of going and seeking entertainment, you go to a film and you're being preached to. I think it's turned off a lot of people across the country. It goes well on the coast. It doesn't do well in the middle of the country. But what I would say with Trump, I think we need to stop fighting the immigration stuff. I think if they want a border wall, we need to build the wall. If they want to deport people, we need to let it go. And we've seen in multiple elections, I know this isn't going to be a popular view, but people have voted for this. They understand what it is, and this is what they want. I think the emphasis needs to be put on some of these other things. You know, I wouldn't have pardoned my son if I was Biden, but I understand why he did it. You know, the Trump administration isn't a Bush administration. It's not a normal Republican administration. I think what they should be doing is pardoning the people that were involved with January 6th, the Liz Cheney, the Kinzingers, anyone that was involved with the investigation or is making the enemies list. And it's sad that that's where we're at, but that's where we're at. I think the emphasis needs to be on fighting some of this stuff. I mean, where I come from, you don't get fired from a job if you're competent, and then we put an incompetent person in your place. So I think that's where the fight needs to be, not the sanctuary city stuff, not the LGBTQ stuff, not the pronoun stuff. The fight needs to be on policy. You know, use that filibuster that we hate to slow down some of these things, bring court cases, really fight them on every front. And people need to remember this is a multi-decade fight, right? We just saw in Wisconsin, we got union rights back for public employees. That didn't happen overnight. That was multiple elections of putting people on the Supreme Court. We need to do the same thing here. And they need to be fought on every front with all the tools that need to be. And the other stuff, I mean, I know it's important to a lot of folks, but we kind of need to put a pin in it. You can't fight on all fronts. So we need to focus where we're going to put our efforts. And, you know, when a new administration comes in or things change, maybe we can come back to it. But we can't be successful if we're trying to fight on all fronts.
You know, Sandy is shaking his head in the affirmative, Robert. Sandy?
Well, I agree. I think the people who are the people who describe themselves as Democrats need to figure out how to get more disciplined and more narrow in the message and in their mission, you know, because you can't do all things. You can't be all things to all people. You can't take on every issue and every mission and handle it on an equalized basis. And there are some fundamentally important things to address now, and I think you've focused on them. They're the process. They're the government process issues that will last over the long haul. And with respect to the deportations, I fully expect K Street to have its way with respect to deportations. And I fully expect that whereas Trump has talked about deporting millions of people, industries will be coming forward now, and they already are, explaining why it is that that's really a terrible idea as far as their industry is concerned. And so I expect that this dragnet will involve trying to find people who were criminals in some fashion in their past. You know, Donald Trump said everything he could to be bombastic during the campaign. I don't think he has any individual purpose. And I think what he ends up being is a tool for all of these various interest groups. And the main thing they provide to him is the ability to exercise his personal power. And they can hold it and withhold it, and they can grant it. He doesn't realize that he's a tool. He thinks he's calling the shots. But my view is that he's actually much more of a tool than he believes.
All right, Robert, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you and I were talking. Oh, 855-752-4842 is the number. You and I were talking on the way here. Let's do this. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I think that the Democrats need to get back to that, and I would encourage every caller to call in and start saying if they are a proud FDR Democrat or if they're an FDR Democrat, to please say so. To the last caller, and I'm going to stay on topic with the whole getting money out of politics and getting all lobbyists out. If we look at the difference between Ronald Reagan versus today in terms of the number of lobbyists, it is unthinkable. When you look at the number of the amount of money that has been spent on campaigns between Reagan and now, it is unthinkable. This kind of is the difference between either FDR's New Deal versus, and that being the public, and Reagan's privatizing everything and trickle-down economics. And you know what? I pray to God that, you know, some God, if there is a God, touches Donald Trump's heart, which I'm not counting on this, and makes him into a different person and makes him more into a benevolent person. But I don't think that's going to happen. As far as the last caller goes, it wasn't the government that imposed anything on anybody with the LGBTQ plus community. It was the media. It was the conservative, regressive media. It was the commercials. It was Kamala Harris even talked about LGBTQ plus, except for the fact that she supports people of all types, not just one type, not just a straight white male. She supports everybody. And I just, I find it so frustrating when people say, oh, the government did something for LGBT. What did they do? All they did was say, you know what, live your life and be happy. Be able to get married to the person you love. That's what they said. But you know what? The ones that all these people should be mad at are the TV networks. They're the ones that are doing shows like I Am Jazz about a 13-year-old transgender kid. Stop blaming the government. Joe Biden did nothing but said everyone is equal.
All right, Tom, thank you very much
for the call. And I think what Tom demonstrates is the fact that the Republicans and conservatives were very good at branding the Democrats, okay? The Democrats had a problem describing themselves, and the Democrats painted them with these various brands, blaming them for things that were social phenomena, not governmental phenomena, as Tom points out. But the fact is that that's what the Republicans did. And I think that the main issue that the Democrats have to face is their ability to have much more control over the conversation instead of letting the Republicans both define the conversation and define the Democrats.
So, Sandy, let's get into some of who Donald Trump has selected to be in his cabinet. And it's very telling. This is in today's New York Times. Ties to Project 2025 or the American First Policy Institute. He clearly stated he doesn't know anything about that. Yet 17 people who he suggested for positions are either have ties to Project 2025 or the America First Policy Institute.
Well, his OMB head, Vaught, was the prime author of Project 2025. He was essentially the organizing author of it. So, you know, everyone knew. All you had to do is read Project 2025 and understand that much of that in there was right up Donald Trump's alley.
Fox News host and contributors, 11 people. 11 people from Fox News he now wants to be engaged and involved, firsthand.
Well, Just think, Earl, if the tables had been turned, you could be Secretary of Defense. Don't you feel competent to handle that job? No.
It held events at Mar-a-Lago. 12 people who held events at Mar-a-Lago, now part of Donald Trump's cabinet, or he hopes. At least 5 are billionaires. At least 8 have been major Trump donors. At least 12 hosted or co-hosted events at Mar-a-Lago. At least 13 made appearances at Trump's criminal trial in New York. At least 17 are associated with the America First Policy Institute. Sandy, at least 11. So on and on and on. He's picked people, 9, at least 9 have been registered lobbyists.
Well, the fact is that loyalty to Donald Trump is primary, but also it's clear that he's appointing people who come from the very sector of the economy that is regulated by an agency, right? So, or have stated their interest in essentially destroying the agency that they're taking charge of. So it's a very unusual cabinet from that respect.
855-752-4842. We're going to delve even deeper into these suggestions. It's Tuesday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams and you will continue.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You do put some time in this. Smooth criminal. Are you calling Donald Trump a smooth criminal?
I don't know.
Or is it Michael Jackson?
People can color this in for themselves.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Sandy, I will say, it's my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, this is New York Times this morning, the revolving door between lobbying and government is a tradition in Washington. And one of the practices Mr. Trump pledged to eliminate when he said he would drain the swamp. But some of the people Mr. Trump has tapped for his administration have deep ties to that very swamp. That's what you said.
And my very point is that this whole notion of firing all sorts of bureaucrats and firing all sorts of generals requires their replacement. And that replacement process is going to be fueled by and fed by the industries and the corporations that are affected by it, okay? And so this is going to be much more like a coup. I mean, what's been going on in Washington, it goes on, okay? And we ought to be alert to it. But what Donald Trump has promised to do, you know, drain the swamp, is he's actually going to fill the swamp, okay? And it's going to happen with the turn of a switch. This is, and the notion that firing all sorts of bureaucrats and firing all sorts of generals is going to get rid of the problem, and he's going to now install people who are going to do the right thing? Really? Really?
You know, Sandy, when you look at all of this, and we know that, you know, this is coming, and people who believe that Donald Trump was going to do something to improve their lots, certainly based on some of the people that he selected, they're not the average person. And what they do have in common is whatever Donald Trump says, for the most part, they're going to be willing to support him unequivocally. That now, the first time around, he had some people in office who said they would support him too, but then when they got to see what was happening, they realized, hey, this is not right. This is one man. This is not good for our government. And so once they woke up and started challenging him, what did he do? He got rid of him. He didn't bring those kind of people back this time around.
Well, he vowed not to, right? And so, he's got people, he's got his son and others doing the sort of loyalty analysis to try and make sure that these people aren't people who are going to stand up and speak truth to power in a manner that Donald Trump would find uncomfortable. And apparently truth to power is just fundamentally uncomfortable to Donald Trump. And the result of truth to power in his administration last time around was the door. And that's worrisome. I think that what we're watching now is the appointment of a bunch of people who they're unusual. Everyone says, oh, this is an unusual cabinet. Well, you know, taking advice from billionaires about how to handle and make life for middle America, middle-income America better is not likely to be a prescription for particularly people who haven't spent their life trying to figure out how to do that. You know, Elon Musk basically says, we're going to pare way back on government and be prepared for hardship. Well, there's only one group of people who experience hardship in this country. It's not the very wealthy. It's not the top 1%, okay? It's everybody else. And so this forewarning, this foreboding of hardship is a very concerning thing, because there are plenty of ways to bring balance to the budget, including creating more efficiency, but also improving revenue and to make sure that programs that need to be reviewed are reviewed, like, for instance, the Defense Department.
So, Sandy, do you see a hypocrisy in a man who's Elon Musk, who is right now, judge rejects Elon Musk's $56 billion pay package? That's what Elon Musk was in line to get, despite shareholder vote, $56 billion in pay. He's the same guy in charge of saying, hey, you average American, you got to get ready for some hardship. Don't people see?
Well, I mean, you know, he's the same guy who was talking to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump congratulated him for firing so many people.
Yes, you're the
In all of his operations. So, I mean, being able to run a corporation on a lean basis and being hard-hearted enough to lay off a whole bunch of people is not necessarily the right qualification to take on formulating government policy in a manner that's going to be good for Tom, Dick, and Mary. You know, there are definitely, government should be efficient. government should deliver only the programs that should be delivered to the people. But once you decide what programs need to be delivered, then you figure out efficiency, and then you figure out how much revenue you need to derive to support it. But the planning process that's being talked about here is cockamamie, and it's ass backwards. It's we're going to cut taxes and cut revenue first, and then we're going to decide what programs we can fit within this much smaller budget when the tax burden currently on Americans is the lowest it's ever been.
Certainly the guy to do that is not a guy who's looking at a $56 billion pay package.
Well, and let me just say that Elon Musk is a primary example of the very wealthy person who probably pays zero taxes, okay, because he doesn't have a big pay package right now. And the pay package is $56 billion is options, okay? And he won't get taxed on that in the same manner as other people are taxed with respect to regular income. And he's probably borrowing money today to live, and he's not living hand to mouth. He's got yachts, he's got planes, three planes or four planes. This is not someone who understands the limitations on income.
So we're going to talk about tariffs. The impact of tariffs. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Why be sweet? Why be careful? Why be kind? A man has only one thing on his mind. Why ask politely, why go lightly, why say please? They only want to get you on your knees. There's a few things that I never could believe. A woman when she weeps, a merchant when he swears, a thief who says he'll pay, a lawyer when he cares, a snake when he's sleeping, a drunkard when he prays. I don't believe you go to heaven when you're good. And everything goes.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'm just looking at this. Trump ties Hunter Biden pardon to January 6th rioters. Refers to January 6th hostages who have now been in prison for years. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music?
Well, it's just about conditions associated with who's getting put into the cabinet, what we think about it. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, all of it, but it's a little worrisome.
All right, Cindy, thank you very much for hanging on. You say what?
Hey, Earl, glad you're back.
Thank you.
A couple of things I have. I know when you were gone one time not too long ago, one of the indoctrinated Republicans called in and kind of scolded you, even though you weren't there, about wishing that Trump would fail. And, of course, Calvin kind of straightened him out and said that that wasn't what you meant. But, you know, I don't wish for him to fail. I expect for him to fail, especially with the kind of cabinet positions he's putting in. And another thing people don't seem to understand is the government and a business are completely different things. Businesses usually specialize in one thing and they are out to make a profit. They don't normally treat their employees very well. The government is not out to make a profit. They're out to help as many people, hopefully, as possible. And, you know, their main focus should be on doing the people's work. And that's not what a business does. So people don't seem to understand that you don't put business people in to run the government. You need to have people that have the service of the humanity in their minds. So.
Well, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Cindy, I think what Cindy had to say is just about right. I think government itself is not an enemy of the people. You know, it kind of meets out things and processes that the average American citizen needs.
There's several elements to running a government, running a big agency, for instance. One of them is the capacity to run a big organization, okay? Lots of people, making sure that the big organization has its mission in mind, pursues its mission efficiently, and gets its mission accomplished. And so a leader of that kind of an organization needs to understand the mission, needs to embrace the mission, and then needs to be good at leading a bunch of people in the direction of accomplishing it. And those qualifications don't necessarily disqualify a business leader, but you do need to make sure that the business leader embraces the mission, okay? And that's where we're running amok, I think, with the current administration and who they're putting into the positions they're putting. These are not people who embrace the mission of the agency or necessarily even embrace the mission that's involved with what an agency does. Many of them seem to be hell-bent on essentially destroying the federal government's pursuit of that mission. And that's something that should be decided by the people and decided by Congress. And so that's, I think, a very worrisome aspect of the current appointments. And like I said, business doesn't disqualify you from those. In fact, it probably does qualify you so long as you embrace the mission.
So, Sandy, you know, Republicans have made, you know, the government the enemy of the people. Are there aspects of the government that I don't agree with? Absolutely. Do I think that the government should be jettisoned and done away with and then something else created to take its place? Absolutely not. We wouldn't have the things that we have if there wasn't government, if there wasn't order, Sandy. So what are people talking about when they're, get rid of government, get rid of... I don't think they think that through.
Well, I think maybe while we were driving up here, but down here, but I think that the Republicans branded the Democrats in a manner, and they have branded government in a manner that has caused people to stop thinking clearly about what it is, for instance, Democrats stand for, or what it is the government is doing and trying to accomplish. And ever since Grover Norquist, the Republicans have focused people on taxes. You should pay less taxes. And the reason you should pay less taxes is the government is your enemy. They're not your friend. They're not doing good things for you. They're doing bad things to you. And if you believe that, then you'll jump on board to the notion of let's strangle the government of money. Let's just get rid of it. Let's strangle the snake. And instead of that, what we need to do is talk about the missions of these various agencies, what they're accomplishing and why, who they benefit, what the purpose is, and then let's make sure they're efficient. And if we did all that, we'd be involved with good government. But what's involved now is just an attack on government. And everyone understands that there needs to be good government. I mean, everyone needs FEMA when they need FEMA. Everyone needs the IRS to collect taxes or we'd have no revenue. Everyone needs the SEC to regulate the financial industry or we wouldn't be the financial center of the world. Everyone needs the FDA to do its job correctly or we'd be poisoning ourselves.
Sandy, they're talking about getting rid of oceanography. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah,
the one, meteorology
and yes. Oceanography. Well, that's in Project 2025, and the reason they want to is because that agency has funded research associated with the climate, and we're better off not finding out about the climate because then we can oppose all this stuff that's associated with defeating or trying to slow down the human contribution to climate change. Let's just stop investigating it. That's like the notion that if we stop testing for COVID, we'll have fewer cases of COVID.
You know, Sandy,
I do remember someone saying that, incidentally.
Yeah. well, you know, when the more you kind of look into this, all of this is orchestrated. You know, I remember you having studied, and we spent an entire week with you talking about what was in Project 2025. And these things are clearly in line with what you talked about.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even, he's not in office yet.
Well, the Department of Energy head was actually the person who wrote the energy section of Project 2025. I think that's one of the nominees. And the whole energy sector infected all these other concepts of getting rid of the Department of Meteorology and Oceanography and the other elements of government that were involved with evaluating global climate change. And, of course, you get rid of the Department of Meteorology, you might have trouble predicting the next hurricane quite as effectively as we do and doing all of the things that are necessary to avert the problems that are being created by climate change.
All right, let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you, Ann. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning.
What I want to say is most of the people, the MAGA people that voted for Trump, they were angry and they voted for the economy. And all I have to say is I'm going to sit by and see how all these rich people are going to fix the economy for the general average person that makes $60,000 and less. And then we'll have a really good conversation to see how our government sucks, because I've seen T-shirts that these MAGA people wore that said our government sucks. So they're upset with our government. They're not upset with these rich people that are taking from us. And this is what the conversation needs to be. How do they think if the government sucks now, and they're going to bring all these people in that have no experience but are rich under their agenda, is going to help them? I feel bad that they just went with their gut feeling and their anger, because I worry about our country. And that's all I have to say, and thank you for your show.
Hey, and you said a lot. And Sandy, I will say to you, you and I talked this morning about people being angry. And things have changed.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of reason for middle America to be angry. We've spent years looking at the middle American budget and understanding the extent to which middle America, and by middle America, I mean people, the median income in America for a couple is $76,500 approximately. But if you take middle America that earns between, as a couple, between $55,000 and $100,000 or more, the Wall Street Journal would tell you that all of those people are living paycheck to paycheck. All of those people would have trouble funding a 401k. All of those people would have trouble repaying student debt. All of those people are pressed, okay? And so there are elements of the budget that those people face that have been affected by government policies in the past and need to be reaffected in a positive way by revised government policies in the future. And it isn't going to be by destroying government, okay? It's going to be by figuring out how to handle child daycare in a manner that's affordable for the people. It's going to be...
So Joe Biden tried to do that.
How to make health care affordable and available to these people rather than taking a $20,000 chunk out of their paycheck. It's going to be doing things that stimulate housing so that rents become more affordable. And all of these things need to be addressed by policies. None of these things are being focused upon by Vivek Ramaswamy, by Elon Musk, by Donald Trump, by any of the appointees of Donald Trump. None of this has been talked about.
But Sandy, those, what you just mentioned were all policies?
Yes, but the people who are angry about those things had their anger channeled by the Republican branding of the Democrats. The Democrats are the problem. The Democrats stand for these cultural issues that you don't find very interesting or might even find repellent.
Do you think that they didn't know the policies?
Incidentally, we're going to solve your problems for you. We're going to put the world at large has become frustrated with the democracy to some extent, because democracy is slow acting and isn't necessarily very responsive. And so the world at large is seeing this trend towards authoritarianism. And the reason is that people want to hand the reins to somebody who's going to do things, okay? So Donald Trump definitely promises to do things. And these people who are frustrated by non-action say, okay, let's give the reins to this guy because he's going to do things. Well, let me just say, let's watch and see the things he's going to do, because I'm afraid that none of them are going to be aimed at benefiting Tom, Dick, and Mary.
You know, Sandy, yeah, he is going to do things, and Tom, Dick, and Mary is going to find out the hard way.
Well, putting an end to DEI is not going to help Tom, Dick, and Mary. Thwarting DEI activities in the military is not going to help Tom, Dick, and Mary. Firing a whole bunch of military is not going to help Tom, Dick, and Mary. Firing a whole bunch of bureaucrats and replacing them with loyalists who are going to do the bidding of probably the industries that are affected by the agencies is not going to help.
Shutting down the borders aren't going to.
Well, shutting down the borders, that is an issue that can be addressed in terms of, you know, what is the proper immigration policy for the United States. But deporting, immediately deporting millions of people is not going to help Tom, Dick, and Mary. And we'll see if that actually happens. But that was the fear mongering that got the president elected. Now let's see what happens with respect to the fear-mongering. My expectation is that the industrial establishment will get in the way of all these massive deportations, which weren't going to help Tom, Dick, and Mary if they were deported, and it might actually help the economy if they aren't.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of a Monday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You know, my co-host Sandy Williams is on board as always. Sandy, tariffs. So I was in the auto industry, and when automobiles were made, where I work, we produced the frames. The frame was then shipped inside of our border to a place in Michigan where they made the engines, especially General Motors. And then they would ship that to a different part of the country where other parts and components were made. Well, that's kind of what happens today, Sandy. Only parts are made in America, parts are made in Mexico, parts are made other places. It's not one place where they make it all.
No, the supply chain, definitely, particularly this most recent treaty with Mexico and Canada and the United States that was done by Donald Trump. It was a revision to the NAFTA agreement, but rather minor. But it was a treaty in which the United States agreed to the level of tariffs that would be applied to Mexican and Canadian goods. Now the incoming president is threatening to violate that treaty, which I suppose is a demonstration of how invaluable or how little a treaty means to the United States, that the president who implemented the treaty is now going to unilaterally violate it for his own reasons. But The fact is that when I was talking about all the things that are promised by the Trump administration that aren't going to help Tom, Dick, and Mary, imposing across-the-board tariffs is not going to help Tom, Dick, and Mary, okay? It's going to damage them, and when we have a tariff war across the world, which is the most likely response to this, will be increased tariffs from Canada, increased tariffs from Mexico, increased tariffs on our goods to China. All of those things will begin to curtail the rate at which our GDP grows, okay? Every economist looks at a rebalkanized world in which tariffs are erected to restrict the amount of trade between nations as something that will shrink the rate at which the world gross product grows, and it'll shrink the rate at which the United States gross product grows. We'll have a slower growing economy. It will damage us in the near term with inflation. And I predict that if he actually did impose all these tariffs, as he's talking about, we will have stagflation, which is the most painful kind of situation for Tom, Dick, and Mary. Prices go up and jobs get lost. And we experienced that in the late 1970s.
And if we're digging out of the problems with the inflation that we just dealt with, which is what we're attempting to do now,
yeah.
This is going to throw us right back into...
Well, and the horror of stagflation is the way you get out of recession normally is to have more deficit expenditures, to pour money into the economy. But if you have a stagnating economy and inflation, you're just going to exacerbate, you're just going to make worse the inflation. So you lose the tool that you normally have to fix a recession because you can't pour money in the economy because you end up with runaway inflation. And that's the danger that Donald Trump is exposing the United States to, and it will become very difficult to use that tool because of the deficits he promises to have because of his the extension of the current tax reduction and the further tax reduction that he wants to exercise for corporate taxes and on large income earners.
All right, CJ, go ahead.
Well, thank you again for taking my call. You know, I love listening to you guys worry about the future. And can you guys focus just 1 minute on what's happening today? Because he made a threat to the terrorists that are holding the hostages that if they're not going to be released by Inauguration Day, hell's going to be to pay. And this
CJ, so he's John Wayne? Is that who he is? So is that what our nation should be doing, running around making threats to other nations? You see that as a positive thing?
A terrorist organization? Yes, I do. And this is Ronald Reagan. This is peace through strength.
Well,
you're going to get. This is what you're going to see. And this is a beautiful thing because this is like when Jimmy Carter... What happened on the day that...
Wait, CJ, let's just get into real history about that. Ronald Reagan, through a back channel, contacted Iran and said, do not negotiate with Jimmy Carter. Wait for me to get in office and I'll solve this problem. And, you know, that was undoubtedly, with a hard analysis of it, treasonous, okay? But it happened. And that's the real history. And the history books will... The actual historical documents will verify that. But we weren't talking about that.
No, absolutely not. And I would say this. I don't want the nation that I live in and the people who are in charge, Sandy, to run around making threats.
Well, you know, look, I...
The nation's bigger than that.
Well, but, you know, this is warfare, but I don't understand exactly what tariff sanction it's expected that Trump could impose that would solve the hostage problem, independent from the sanctions that have already been talked about. But in any case.
All right. Sandy, as always, great having you on. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Matt Nair and Greg Bach, Matt Nair on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.